So to kind of encapsulate what you're saying, it's difficult to find a Native American or an Indigenous leader that has written books. Invariably listen to other people, which is like my Simon Sinek or John Maxwell, Brené Brown, where they have elements of where it fits into my values, my core beliefs, and the things that, you know, when it comes to being Native and the values that I have, that's, to me, those are, I guess, closely threaded in with mine. But I have to either write a book or have a podcast.
Hello, and welcome to You Matter Here, our Minnesota Transitions Charter School podcast, where we elevate the voices of our people, dig deeper into our big ideas, and explore how we show up for ourselves and each other in order to make magic happen. I am your host, Wendy Lorenz Walraven, the Director of Equity and Diversity here at MTCS. My hope is that as we spend time together, we will have an opportunity to explore three key questions. Who am I? Who are we? And who are we to each other? As it is the intersection of these questions that informs the assumptions we make, drives our behavior, and impacts our relationships with ourselves and with others. Welcome back to You Matter Here, our Minnesota Transitions Charter School podcast. Today in the studio, I will be visiting with Koya Nightpipe, our Indigenous Education Coordinator and Administrative Assistant for MTS Secondary. Koya has shared her gifts with MTCS for the last 5 years, and I've had the profound honor of working closely with her in a number of capacities. Today's episode will be an exploration of the intersection of identities and the impacts of leadership development and how Indigenous education liberates us all, personally and professionally. So let's begin in a good way. Koya, would you mind sharing a little bit about who you are and how you joined our MTCS community?
Thank you, Wendy. That just really made my heart feel good just when we begin things in a good way. Well, how did I come to MTS? That's a little bit of a story, but when I came here, you know, I was hired, and our now executive director hired me at that time, and I was just so surprised and so pleased and thankful, because I just said, "Really? You hired me?" I was just so happy and so pleased to be here, because I think I found a nice little gem. I found a place where I could be a part of. I thought this community was just wonderful. And I just really thought, you know, this is a place where we could be, where we could just help each other and do what we can. And I found a gem. So
wonderful. Would you be willing to share a little bit about our Indigenous education program that you started, that you oversee, and are continuing to build here at MTCS?
Well, our program started before COVID did, just a few months prior, but we had the opportunity to apply for the grant, and we put our hat in the ring and wrote up some the objectives and things, and make sure that we were, you know, meeting the requirements of the grant. And I really wasn't involved at that moment, but when it was sent back to us where we had to change things a little bit, I thought, okay, I'm getting involved. I'm going to see how we can learn how to write the grant, learn to what do we want to include, reading, writing, all the information that the state wanted, but how we're going to apply this to teach our kids, bring up their scores and all that. I was still pretty new and you know, wanting to do well, and thankfully the grant was approved. So that year, you know, we started in January, and we're like, okay, we're ready to go. We had some funding under our little basket here, and we're just seeing what we can do. And then COVID hit. So we really didn't get to do a whole lot that first year, other than buy a few supplies and things that books that we needed to start the program. And when we were sent home, you know, I try to keep in touch with parents, students, and see if there's anything that we could do, provide some tutoring if needed. And that was basically what we did that first year, was just starting out. We're just trying to get our feet under us. And then the next year, of course, we were still, oh gosh, where we're still at home for a little bit. And then, oh yeah, that's when we, it's like, how can you forget? That's when
because it seems like forever ago and just yesterday.
I know.
Yeah.
And that's when we, you know, we're away from the school because of the riots and the everything during that time. And then, of course, we had a nice, lovely place at the mall. So being there, you know, we're still away from the parents and the students and not having a connection other than through our computer. And it was difficult. It was a hard time. Well, now kind of fast forward to this year, you know, we were all face to face last year. And now this year it's like, okay, I think we're finally, our wings are spread. We're trying to get people here to, you know, bring in the culture, our dancers, our drum groups, Dr. Dan Ninham. I'd like to bring in a seamstress so I can teach the girls or have them teach the girls. I think it'd be better if they taught the girls how to, you know, sew their ribbon skirts, because I know we can certainly teach. I would like for them to know how to make their ribbon skirts. And I have some big plans for our graduation this upcoming year. Last year, we were able to finish off with our drum group and then offer words of encouragement. And this year, we're going to plan a graduation banquet. And then we have, I just lined up my speaker for graduation this past Friday. This person I'm going to bring in, he is just such a wise, wise person and very much an advocate for children and to make sure that they succeed and thrive and get through and to graduate. So this person I'm going to bring in is going to be wonderful. Then, of course, we'll have our drum group. I'm hoping Hoka Hey or one of the other drum groups that we had from our get together for Native American Day and then Native American Heritage Month. So we have some singers and then, of course, the drum group to bring them in for that.
That's so exciting. Yeah, the drumming group that you had at our graduation last year was really beautiful. And just, again, I think one of the many things that you've been able to really bring community experts into our space and to really be able to expose all of our children to Indigenous education, Indigenous storytelling. One of the things that you and I have talked about is that Indigenous education is vital for every single one of us. What does that mean to you?
It was important before, and it's even more important now, because what happened was it passed. The legislation is there. And then we can absolutely bring that into every classroom. The Ojibwe and Nakota people here and what their lives, how they live, their language, their culture, it's going to be brought into the buildings. And that's not just here, it's everywhere in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just really, really important because, you know, there's that saying, we're still here. Mm-hmm. And so learning about the language, the culture, the stories, the land, food sovereignty, everything that isn't, you know, on each of the reservations and or communities, you know, those things are real. Those things are, you know, are important for all of us to know. And then to, you know, bring that into the classroom and have the teacher or even the students be, you know, teachers the day of maybe, and then share what they know about what Indigenous education for all or whatever that particular assignment is during that time or that day, is to, you know, bring that in and make sure that we are able to share and talk about that and learn from each other, and especially about what it is to be Native here in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the things that I love when you have brought in Dr. Anton Troyer, because he talks about, again, just sort of the ways in which Indigenous learning happens through relationships, right? And through that storytelling lens, really being able to slow down and connect in meaningful ways, right? That's part of what I love about, the opening, let's begin in a good way. I love when you refer to when we are connecting is that we're visiting, right? That there's something really familial about that concept and that term that's extended outward to all people. And when I think about us trying to really integrate restorative practice, which is an Indigenous practice, into that, right? Like, I think there probably are a lot of places in Minnesota that are now trying to respond to legislation because it's legislation. And we are in this position where we get to respond because we've already been responding. We've already noticed, we've known what the need is. You have gone above and beyond in trying to secure funding for us so that we can genuinely create and build programming, not only so that our Indigenous young people can see themselves and have representation and learn about their culture, but that every single child in our district gets to do that. And that's a gets to, right? Like that is something that is really genuinely beautiful. I think that we are trying to honor the cultures and the experiences of all of our young people, and the intersections of their identities as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%. Yeah. Can I just interject one thing? When we began the meeting, let's begin in a good way. I was at a storytelling event this past Friday. And the gentleman who had the prayer during that time of the last, when I first heard that, his name is Ricky Defoe. He was at this one. And I had to tell him how that affected me. I said, that just about brought me to tears. I said, but this is how, when I speak at certain things, or, bring, if I'm introducing someone or something or what we're going to do for that day, I always just say that we want to begin in a good way. So yeah. I appreciate you doing that at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And does that saying really stem from your Lakota identity? What part of where does that hold special meaning for you?
Well, for me, I think I heard that kind of like back in the day. It was just during, of course, COVID, but it really did strike just kind of hit my heart, because it was like something, my elders would say, or even my grandma would say at home, mm-hmm. So you have that connection, and it's like, it just makes you feel good. Like you're in community. With everyone that is there, and that's like I said, and so when we gather and I talk about or whatever I'm doing to introduce, that's, I truly want to begin in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and whether that's two people in a room or 200 people in a room, there is something really beautiful about that sort of proclamation that we are going to begin now, and we're going to do so in ways that honor each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
very exciting. Yep. So speaking of intersection of identities, you are currently working on your Master's of Strategic Leadership. How have you experienced your leadership journey considering the intersection of your identities?
Well, it's interesting because, learning, reading, hearing, I don't often hear a Native voice.
Right.
So I often look for things just in, just to see if there's something else that I can get so I can read and listen to, or, talk with other people. Just like, have you heard of anyone else? Can you point me in the way so I could read or listen to, mm-hmm. But I think it's been a great journey. I'm learning. I'm just trying to absorb and just to observe and hopefully point out, and then to, reflect upon and incorporate it into what I'm trying to do, and then how my leadership would go out from here. Mm-hmm. And then to the whole thing is, when, for me in the leadership role that I like is, it's kind of like the servant leadership, thinking and speaking about, being Native, being Indigenous, and that's another, there's another point on that, but being Indigenous, we have the Lakota values, we have respect, wisdom, compassion, we have that kinship, generosity, And then we, you know, the prayer part, you know, we have to reach out to the great one from above to, you know, ask for help. But all of those things, you know, that's kind of what servant leadership is, and in that aspect. So to kind of encapsulate what you're saying, it's difficult to find a Native American or an Indigenous leader that has written books. Invariably listen to other people, which is like my Simon Sinek or John Maxwell, Brené Brown, where they have elements of where it fits into my values, my core beliefs, and the things that, you know, when it comes to being Native and the values that I have, that's, to me, those are, I guess, closely threaded in with mine. But I have to either write a book or have a podcast or bring in people that, you know, just so I can have that and share that. And I really would like the Indigenous perspective, you know, when it comes to leadership. We have our ways of being when it comes to leadership, when it comes to doing what we should be doing, taking care of our elders and taking care of the younger ones and teaching them the ways that they need to be in their community. So when I mentioned Native and Indigenous, it brought to mind a couple of things that I've also said to my group of people here. It's about how I grew up. I grew up being Indian. And then, of course, there's been movements along the way in my lifetime, growing up Indian. And then, of course, there's American Indian, Native American, and now Indigenous. At this storytelling event, I listened to the gentleman, Ricky Defoe, and he had some very interesting thoughts about those things. And he's, you know, he made me rethink of how I'm not necessarily Indian because I'm not an Indian, right? Mm-hmm. So, but he said, we're not this, we're Indigenous. And so it made me really pause. I mean, I had to raise my hand at the end of his presentation. It's like, you know, this is the first time I ever had anyone make me stop and think about, am I Indian or am I Indigenous?
Right.
The other two in between, it's not that they don't matter, but it's like, you know, this time it's like, this is different. Yeah. You know, and so Indigenous it's a powerful word.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, thank you for sharing just again, kind of your own story and journey in, you know, when we're exploring our own identities and we're exploring the language that society has attached to various identities, right? That some of that is sort of like at some point one term was used and another point we're now at a different time, right? And language sort of comes and goes like that, right? I know that as being a part of the LGBTQ community, right? That there's been a lot of language and extra letters and all kinds of things to try to really, again, as we really, I think, continue to work to like widen our understanding of identities and that they're just are so much more fluid and nuanced than I think we really try to oversimplify a lot of things just for our own ease of moving through the day in the world. But those words and those terms for those of us who are grappling with which ones apply and which ones don't, right? It's a lot of work. It's a lot of things to think about. And especially, you know, when I think about some listeners who maybe haven't necessarily questioned many of their identities or any of their identities, right? That, that there's something, again, it's, I don't know, there's something that's just like a really unique process to go through as an individual. And you don't grow out of that, right? It's not like we necessarily age out of that. I think that we're constantly really sort of going, again, who am I and what really fits as a way for me to express myself to other people and what really fits in just the way that I express myself to myself. And who's it all for anyways, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the day, it's how we show up, you know, it's how we're our presence. It's,
mm-hmm.
You know, another thing, it's really powerful, you know, mm-hmm. it's how we show up in front of each other.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And understanding our identities, I think, allow us to show up like fully and completely, right? Mm-hmm. The more sort of grounded we are in who we are and our understanding of ourselves is what allows us, I think, to make more space for other people. And mm-hmm. I think that, again, as we can start to recognize that just like at the end of the day, we are people who are trying to do meaningful work and wrap around meaningful children in hopes of creating meaningful futures for all of us, right? That there is a way, but really coming back to this way of being, and you've mentioned that, several times now that it really, and that's part of that sort of Indigenous education is about our ways of being. How do we show up? How do we treat each other? How do we work through conflict? How do we, inspire each other to dream big? How do we do that? And we have the power to do that when we are together every day, mm-hmm. right? Whether mm-hmm. we take that and do something with it or not is a different story. But those opportunities are there. And especially, I think, in our system that is really genuinely a multicultural organization, right? Like we just have such a wide variety of identities and intersection of identities that exist in our organization. It's part of why I work here. That's part of what I love about this place is we're all trying to figure out how to educate in today's world of education, which I think education is always tricky and challenging, but it's particularly difficult, I think, right now. Mm-hmm. What is something that you have learned in your time at MTCS that has shaped you as a leader?
Showing up and being consistent, because I think I want to be here. I want to do the best I can and to be here for as many people as I can mm-hmm. and to just, show up and be present and to help and just step up where I need to, mm-hmm. One of those, I just think it's it seems easy to say, but sometimes it's difficult to do, but you have to show up. You have to be on your toes and, mm-hmm. and then, being all that to the people that you want to, who you want to serve. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. I can it doesn't surprise me that that's your answer in the slightest, right? Because I think that you are one of the people that I work with that is the most consistent in the way that you show up, in the way that I think I've heard the words, how can I help, come out probably most often, right? Is sort of like you are so grounded in what you're trying to do here and that part of your role here is to be in service of others and that, not only as a servant leader, but just I think that is kind of the what you exude as a person, as a human being, is just someone who really tries to be a part of the community in any way that they can to sort of figure out what is a need here and how do I fill that? And again, I think that, when we look at even the last 5 years of you and I working together, been through a lot. Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. COVID years.
Yes. Yes.
The mall, moving back into this space, learning how to be in person, learning how to be in this place, in this space together. I think that in the times for myself as a leader, the times that I have been the most stressed or at capacity in trying to care for our organization, you have always been just so steadfast and so true to who you are and what you're trying to do here. And I just thank you for the way that you show up. It's very evident that you take time and care into making sure that whenever you are in this space and place that you're here and ready to be here for people.
I try. And thank you. Thank you so much.
You do.
I appreciate that.
And then sort of in closing, what is something that you want our listeners to know or to consider when it comes to how we support Indigenous youth?
Being there for them, being present, showing them that you are serious about what they're telling you, just to listen, of course, to teach, just by maybe just sitting and say, hey, let's sit in a quiet spot.
Yeah, I definitely think that we look out for each other here, right? And the title of the podcast is You Matter Here. And it's because we really truly believe that. And not only for our young people, but for the adults who work here as well. And so, yes, I appreciate that. Just again, like the solid connection to showing up consistently, showing that you genuinely care about who young people are, about how they see themselves, how they want to see themselves, right? I think that we do a lot of, you get to write your own story here, right? We all come into this space and places with a lot of stories written for us or written by people that we didn't have, you know, like we didn't get that autonomy to be able to create our own story, but we get to do that here. And so again, I think that the ways in which that we show up for young people and for each other really sets us apart from other places and spaces. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't thank you enough for your time and your energy today. I'm so grateful to work alongside you every day and for your partnership in learning how to respond to the needs of our young people. You are genuinely an asset to our community, and I look forward to where our collaboration continues to take us. Thank you all for listening and for spending your time with us today. You matter here. Palamaye.